joy. Yeah. One stage he was talking about the different door, the different, you know, like a game show. When I was a little kid, my grandma at her house used to watch game shows, and there was always this door number one, you get a car. Door number two, you went across the earth and met the princes of somewhere. Door number three was like, da-da! It was the everything. And so, but they didn't know what was behind door number three, and sometimes it wasn't as nice as the car. And so, you know, it's kind of funny because we all have that. We want that door number three because usually that was the really, really good one. You know, when I love the word. And oh my gosh, once I get started, I get off track. So I'll try to stay on course here. But you know that parable that Jesus told about the two houses, the one on the foundation and the one on the sand. And so that all the stuff that would happen if the storm came. And it's really funny because there's no difference, really, between the rain and the storms. Both houses got the storms. So it was like, wait a minute, I want door three. You know, but there's no promise from the Lord that we're not going to get storms. And so that's what brings about joy. When you go through the storms, there is a joy that comes after it. And so, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm just excited about that. Lord, we pray that you'd bless this time. We are still hungrier for your word. We are thirstier for your Holy Spirit, and we ask that you would teach us and bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, after that parable where Jesus told that, it's kind of funny because it says that they were so astonished. I love lists. I have a list of just the way people responded to Jesus. They were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one that had authority. I mean, and there were so many things. I mean, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees told him to go get Jesus, the officers, they bring him back. They come back and there's no Jesus with them. And they're like, where is he? And the officers, no man could speak like this man. That was, and I have that one of my lists. It's like the response of these officers who could easily have taken, but no man spoke like this man. I wonder sometimes what he said that so touched their hearts. Just like writing in the sand, what did he write in the sand? And there's just different places of where Jesus just loved the people and the joy. He had a joy. Let's look at a couple of joy verses here. I'm just going to kind of stick to my notes, I think. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. You know that verse. We've been all talking about it. And long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentle. They all go together, self-control. And look at that last line. Against such there is no law. There's no law. You know, you can say that. There's a law against that. There's a law against that. There's no law to be kind to people. There's no law to be gentle to people. There's no law to have joy. And so that's pretty cool. I think that Jesus was a man of joy. Joy, the definition of joy is a radiant condition of the soul, a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus was a triumphant, eloquent man. He had an incredible quality of life. He spread a lot of joy. The people were drawn to him. His words were so life-changing, and everyone was so amazed that he illuminated his love from the Father. He spent unbroken time with his Father and his love for us, and that's what brought the joy in him. The joy is joy of the Lord, another definition, that something that rises above the circumstances and focuses on the very character of God, giving you wisdom to make mature decisions and attitudes, exemplifying good attitudes to others, even in hard times. And so we can walk through it, we can get through it, and joy comes with sorrow. You know, there's weeping at night, but there's joy in the morning. And there's some good verses. These things I have spoken, Jesus said, that my joy, his joy, he's going to give us his joy, my joy that it might remain in you and that your joy will be full. He shares it. with us. That blows my mind. I think that is so cool. And we can be an example to others, even in hard times. We don't come to you at the end of the battle. We come to you in the middle of the battle. You know, and John wrote 5 books, John did, and he saw a lot of, he saw Jesus transfigured, he saw Moses, he saw Elijah, he saw Jesus transfigured, he saw Jesus heal, he saw Jesus multiply the food, and Jesus even let him be a part of the multiplication. He saw a lot of things, and yet that is why he was compelled, I think on the island of Patmos, to start writing these books. And why? 1 John 1, in the beginning, the first verse says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And Psalm David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. You want joy in his presence. The thing that calms me down every day, because he's in stage 4 now, I go home and I read the word because my joy comes out of the word. It's healing to me. It's medicine to me. I just get such a high. Some people go to drugs. I go to the word because the high, the things that I see that I just can hardly comprehend it. The word is so brilliant and so awesome, and how the Lord just orchestrated it. He took the thoughts and intents of his heart and he put it in book form through people. And it was preserved through the centuries. The day they wrote it, the way I read it is the same. It's fresh through the years. Every time I read it, it's fresh, like it was just written. And the Lord just, he's there. He counsels us. He gives us peace. He gives us wisdom. And so with joy, I mean, we're going to go through hard times, but Jesus will be with us, guiding us, helping us. God does not greatly use a man, he does not greatly wound. I don't remember where I read that. Another one is, it is impossible to be holy without suffering. Suffering is the doorway to intimacy with God. And so joy is very awesome. Yes, you have to go through things to get to joy. But it's just, you want to get there. And it's like the shepherd who was looking for the sheep and finally found, and all the worry and all the, he found the sheep and the joy, you know. Mary, losing, how do you lose God for 3 days? But 3 days they were looking for, 3 days they were looking for him. And then when they found him, it was, and he said, oh, the things she must have pondered in her heart. He said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Wow, I mean, and I can only read like a chapter or a couple verses at a time, and then it's like, I have to think about it for a while. You ever read a book, you had to think about it for a while? When I gave my heart to the Lord, Bill and I went together, Mike McIntosh led us to the Lord, and that was when there was like 300 in the church. Have you ever seen the juicy movie, Jesus Revolution? Yeah. That would be us in the crowd there. And then we just saw this movie, Great Awakening, that was George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin. Sobbed through that because I saw the revival. I saw my face. I'm like, I'm right there. That was me. I would have been right there. Just the excitement. They catch the movie. They catch a lot of it pretty good. But there was electricity. You just had to have been there with the revival. We had a man that lived with us that was saved in the Welsh revival. And I've read a lot of books from the Welsh revival. And it was a moment when you hear people. I've heard people talking. I've gotten old tapes. Well, they were cassette tapes from people that have, they're all gone probably now, but survived the Welsh revival and was taught different revivals, even in the States, describing them. And I can go into a whole side. All these I can go into a whole side thing. But the excitement of the joy that comes with, I mean, Mary had to go through a lot of stuff when she had Jesus as a mom. And just the heartbreak of what she had to see and watch, but the joy of what she saw. This is the thing. The sorrow is peanuts in price to what you get, if it makes sense. I think the Lord looked down and said, my Mary, I just love her. She's just so sweet and so kind, and she knows my word. And she praises me, and she loves me. She obeys me. She loves me. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad I chose her, and I've given her Joseph. I know he'll be a good husband, and he'll help her. And I'm just going to. And so hey, Gabriel, why don't you go down he takes his, I think maybe it's A. Gabriel was his best angel, but he sends him down and tells him, well, first I want you to go to Zechariah, and I want you to tell him that they're going to have a baby. They've been praying for a long time. They are a godly couple, and I want to bless them. And so Zechariah, you know, they runs home. Elizabeth, come to the bed. We have work to do. Well, he wrote it because he couldn't talk. Oh, there's so much in here. Like, I'm just skipping all around, but okay. So anyway, I'll get back to Elizabeth in a minute. I'm going to be skipping all back and forth because of my notes. I got so excited and I see something else over here and it all blends in. So anyway, what do we know about Mary? She's a sweet young girl, maybe 14, 15. Seemed to have a gentle, quiet spirit. From her praising the Lord after she greeted Elizabeth, I think that, well, we see some of the Deuteronomy, some of the Old Testament stuff come out of her. She knew the word, and she had a love for the Lord. And in this day and age, I picture somebody saying that, okay, this angel got this alien, like Mary turns around and, oh my gosh. And the angel's like, Gabriel's like, don't worry, don't fear, just, and blurts all this out. You're going to have a baby, you're going to have a Messiah. And I think in this day and age, I picture girls going, wait a minute, little angel. I'm engaged. I have a life to live. I'm not ready for that right now. No, it is not fair. But you don't hear, I never, in all of my study of Mary, I've ever seen any complaints from Mary. Mary was just, she was so in love and with the Lord. When all this came out, she just said, let it be according to your word. Wow. I mean, she was going to give up everything. I mean, and so I just love to study Mary. Mary was a sinner who followed Jesus as her savior, just like us. God forgave her for her sins, just like us. She was just a normal person. She was not a co-redeemer. He didn't pray to her. He prayed to his father. He loved Mary. He respected her as his mother. And I just love Mary. I just think that her heart was so toward the Lord. And the Lord wanted somebody whose heart he had a hold of. We know that she didn't die for her sins on the cross. He did not worship her. He died for her. He loved her. And Mary, just like us, was given an invitation to boldly walk into the throne room and ask for help in time of need, anytime she wanted. And everything we have is in Jesus. She did the same thing that we all do. We cry out to Jesus. We worship him. She followed him. She was the one person that was at the birth and the death of our Lord. So she went through a lot. The scripture says she was there at his death. And I love to think of her getting to hear those last words. It is finished. You know, all God had done. And it's pretty cool. And I think she was quite an evangelist. I think that she said, whatever he says to you, well, we know she said that. Whatever he says to you, do it. And he's like, woman, I'm not ready yet. But that was his first miracle, the water turned to wine. So we know that she was engaged to Joseph. We know that she was poor. We know that she was obedient to the Lord. She went through a lot of crazy stuff in her life. I treasure the thing. There's another list for Mary. Because she treasured a lot of beautiful, intensive, intimate moments with the Lord. She was personally visited by an angel, and she was greeted by Elizabeth. Now, they were cousins, and the angel gave her one little tidbit before the angel left and said, oh, by the way, Liz, your cousin, is pregnant, and she's 6 months pregnant. Well, she knew Elizabeth had been praying for a long time. I'm sure that everybody knew. And so all of a sudden, what? And she believes. So, I mean, Zacharias had to be muted to get a little help. But which worked out, because when she was with Elizabeth, there were 3 months that they had together. And Zacharias couldn't talk through any of it. So her and Her and Elizabeth had a great time together, I'm sure. And probably Zacharias just sat and smiled because he could hear him. So, and you know, she needed a confirmation maybe, I don't know. But I love the part where she gets there. Now, this is interesting that I don't know why, I haven't studied it. But at the very beginning of her pregnancy, she takes, what, an 85-mile trip to Jerusalem? Why do you do that when you're sick and nauseous and you find out you're pregnant, you've got all this stuff to deal with? And but she went, she had to get to Elizabeth, like Elizabeth was her mentor kind of thing. And the interesting thing, too, is at the very end of her pregnancy, she takes another, and this is not, I mean, she didn't have a cell phone, of course, you know, like your mother to say, hurry up, they're all getting in before you, and you're, there's not going to be any room in the inn. Walk faster, I'm tracking you. But but Mary, in the beginning and at the end of her pregnancy, takes an 85-mile trip, which is a big deal, because she didn't have all that. You couldn't put her on a plane. But then when she gets there, and she doesn't know how Elizabeth's going to react, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit by hearing the voice of Mary. Now that to me says, and also Mary, what Elizabeth said was that my child leaped for joy in my womb. Now, leaped, we know our child leaps when we're pregnant, but for joy, how did she know that? It's in the word, for joy. All I can say is that a mother knows. And Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the joy, that kind of joy, if God wants to give us that kind of joy, that praise and that love for the Lord. And I picture Mary and Elizabeth hugging and talking. They're standing there, and Elizabeth's well into her pregnancy, 6 months, and Mary's just got pregnant. But in the womb, before ever they're born, joy. What does Jesus do first thing before he's ever born? He's spreading joy. And I picture him in one womb, John the Baptist in the other, and they're high-fiving. I always think of that when I read that. They probably grew up together because, they weren't that far. I'm sure they had family gatherings, and I'm sure they hung out together a lot. Jesus had nobody his age to play with, no boys, because they were all killed. Everybody 2 years and under, there was a span where there were no boys his age. So I'm sure that, and he and John had a lot of time together, you know, I don't know. But then when they move back, another joy story, the three wise men are far off on the other side of the country, and they may be talking about the Lord. Somehow they saw this star, and it caught their eye, and they all got so excited, in agreement with each other, jumped and ran, got on their camels, went across country, because they believed in that star. The Lord had done something, touched the joy. The joy, I'm sure it was a long ride, but the joy. And so when they saw him, they bowed down. They knew it was the Lord. Oh my gosh, I just love it when you finally get that. When I gave my heart to the Lord, it was like Mike McIntosh sits down on a, there were no fluffs. I was looking for all the fluff. And no choir, no hymnals, no organ, no nothing. I mean, no fancy chair. There was a metal folding chair sitting on the podium, and he gets up in a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt, sits down in that folding chair, opens up the Bible and started reading. And I'm in the back row. I was cut to the heart. I knew for the first time in my life that God loved me and that I could be saved, that he personally loved me, that he was real, and went down forward, my husband and I, and then we couldn't stop going to church. I mean, the doors were open. We were there. We were there 45 minutes early because that's as the Calvary grew, to get a seat in the front, toward the front, you got to go 45 minutes early. And it was a very exciting time. And so just to be a part of the Calvary's was really special. I've just all through the years been so thankful because just there's the joy of the Lord. Somehow that was, the wise men knowing that this really, I mean, so many confirmations to Mary. Can you imagine? Even to the point of his birth was so important that Our calendars are BC and AD. They're reflect the death and birth of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, I think sometimes that I picture Jesus as a baby. Mary and Joseph are bringing him into the temple to dedicate him. Anna was there day and night. She loved the Lord. She loved the Father. She so loved the Lord that when they came in with his son, she immediately recognized him. I think he looked spit in image of the Father. I think maybe he looked spit in image of Mary too, because the Lord, that's not in the word, but that's a little add-on. I think that, well, she just knew. The Holy Spirit had spoken to her, and she knew. And so her and Simeon got to see the Lord before they died, and I think it's so exciting. So this Messiah that they had waited hundreds of years for is now there. And there I have a whole other study on just the birth, the innkeeper going to the innkeeper saying there's no room. There's just no room. And sometimes I think if that innkeeper knew the Messiah was standing in front of him, the one that would die for him, would he have wait and kicked somebody else and gave him a room or given up his own room? I don't know, but sometimes I think about, boy, what that innkeeper missed out on. And then you think about Mary and you think, and I heard no complaint. You hear no complaints from her. She's in a stable. Now we do cribs, we do showers, we have our moms or our best friends there at birth. She had Joseph and a bunch of animals. I think the Lord put those animals to sleep, and there was this, I think they were snoring and doing little horsey neighs on cue, music, who knows. But anyway, she had Joseph, and that was her nurse. And I think the Lord did something beautiful there. Oh, man, there's so much that's not in there. I like to look between the lines. But, you know, it's just, and just what the Lord did. We could take each one separately and take Joseph and what the Lord did in his life. He's thinking, well, the two things, they're both bad. One is either she's lying when she says she's pregnant, or she's not lying and she's had an affair. So there was two for two until an angel comes to him. And I just love that what God did in his life must have been magnificent. I just think he was, and scripture shows that Zacharias and Joseph were very godly, kind men. It describes them in the word. I've got all the addresses, but I'm not going to give you any right now. And so, blessed are you among women. The Lord said, you know what, I'm just going to bless Mary. I'm going to bless her among women, not above women, among women. She was blessed among women. And she's just special because she, you know, I sometimes think in the stable, you know that song, Mary, Did You Know, that the baby you kissed, you're kissing the face of God, and the baby you delivered will soon deliver you. And the words are just, and I, you know, I just think maybe the guy was standing there singing it in the stable. Who knows? Okay, that's way off. Okay. Anyway. But Mary's reaction, God started blending these two women together. I love to study Elizabeth and Mary. One was real, okay, let's look at the differences. I made a list of the differences. Older mentoring younger. With a deep love for God. There's no generation gap because, I mean, you remember another younger, older relationship in the Word? Naomi and Ruth? That was a beautiful relationship. And that's a great study, too. I love those studies. That's what I love about, you know, the blending of the Bible studies of the women where everybody can use it, be used to help each other. They cry together and laugh together. And I think of Mary and Elizabeth having 3 months together just to hold on and love each other. So you got Mary, who's very young. You got Elizabeth, who's very old. A virgin. Mary's a virgin. Elizabeth is past menopausal. She's so old that her womb is dead, and she can't bear children. Mary is never married, and Elizabeth has been married many years. Elizabeth is naive and very inexperienced with life. And Elizabeth has many years of life. And then I started to look at the common things that they have together. I mean, we're looking at spreading joy and helping each other, and this is exactly what the Lord wanted. Look at all, I had a lot more common things together than differences. Look at some of the common things. They're pregnant together. Elizabeth, yes, is in her last trimester. Mary's in her first trimester. So isn't that fun for Elizabeth, not only to get to be pregnant, but to get to minister for her to her cousin? Both were having a miracle baby, a miracle from God baby, told by a personal, Elizabeth didn't have an angel come to her, but she knew the minute she saw Mary. And both would have a boy, a son. There were no ultrasounds then. They just knew because the Lord told them. Both sons God named before birth, before even conception. That would be John and Jesus. Both women had godly husbands, Zacharias and Joseph. Both husbands were visited by an angel. Both husbands believed the angel. Well, Zacharias had a little help getting muted. Both husbands obeyed. Both husbands did name their child what the Lord told him to. I was thinking, man, what if he doesn't agree with this? But then you look at the sons. Both the sons were filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb before birth. Both sons were filled with joy. Both sons would grow up as cousins. Both sons would preach the gospel. Both sons would die in the prime of their life. Both sons would die a brutal death. One death would be sudden and unexpected, is the way I saw John the Baptist. He was beheaded. The other son's death would be planned from the beginning of the world. Both sons would have the most important calling in life. One son would be the forerunner of the Messiah, and the other son would be the Messiah. And all of that for you. Why are we here? Because God's plan for us. You can witness the majesty of God and live in his joy by praying and reading his word. I encourage you today, go home, read the word every day. I have more time than I used to because of the circumstances. And so I'm hungry like you're hungry for breakfast. I go to the word first. And then what's the first thing on your mind in the morning? What's the last thing on your mind at night? What's the most important thing in life to you? What would you send your sons to war for? What would you die for? These are the things that are important. And his word, I mean, the God of all is giving you his heart, vulnerable, just giving you his heart for you to read and to understand. And you know, how dare we at times, I think, Lord, why? How dare I? You know, I'll never understand the why, and isn't important. The important thing is the who and the joy, the peace, all that comes from it. You know, like Jenny said, count it all joy. That's hard to think about, but it's not an earthly joy. It's a spiritual joy. So, and he presents you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The greatest joy in my life is knowing Jesus. And there is no goodness in my life without him. And that's where we're at. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, the joy of the Lord. This is my joy of the Lord. I mean, take the pictures, keep my Bible. I have a new one, actually. So... let's pray.